Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't need it. For my ego, I don't need it to keep playing. A lot of decisions that I've made over my career and life from strictly the ego, even if they turn out well, are always unfulfilling. But the decisions made from the soul are usually pretty fulfilling. So this was a decision that was best for my soul. And I felt like being here with Coach T and the guys that got here and the opportunity here was the best for me. And I'm excited to be here.
Aaron, is it?
That's how I feel when I go to an all-you-can-eat buffet dorm.
Mm.
It's not good for my ego. Second on the lips, forever on the hips, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is good for the soul.
Yes.
Get yourself a little Eaton Park sticky bun.
Yes.
Worst ways to spend 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Yes.
I don't know really what the hell he's talking about there, but he does seem genuinely excited to be playing football. And if you believe him, he is playing for all the right reasons. He wants to bring a 7th Lombardi Trophy to Pittsburgh. He wants to, as he said it, and I'm paraphrasing here, kind of put an exclamation point on a long and terrific career. And the word that came to my mind, watching this dude move well and with his signature quick release, was reinvigorated. I got to be 100% honest, and we always are on this show. This Steelers season, if Mason Rudolph were at the helm, would have been one of... It might have been the least excited I've been for a Steelers
mm-hmm.
season.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going nowhere. And this team's probably not winning the Super Bowl either. And I don't know if they're even going to win a playoff game. You think they will. I think they can. But to watch that guy for 17 games, hopefully he stays healthy. I'm interested to see where it goes. And I was pinching myself, man. This is an all-time great quarterback. And I know he's not what he used to be. But this is an all-time great quarterback who jogs onto the practice field wearing a Steelers helmet. And frankly, if you're a Steelers fan and that didn't get the blood pumping a little bit, I don't know what the hell you're thinking.
Yeah.
Is your head up your ass?
Right.
Is your head in the sand? It doesn't mean you have to think it's going to work, but... It got me, the second I saw the first video, it got me more excited about this Steelers season than I've been excited about any Steelers season since Ben Roethlisberger retired, and I don't think it's even close, because the fascination level of what's going to happen, it's through the roof right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm reinvigorated.
I have two words.
Oh, you cheated already?
I could pick one, but
no,
I have two. I have
There's
two.
No rules. It's our
one,
show.
One is intrigued. Intriguing for sure, because it is, you know, whenever they showed the clip and you saw the clip on X yesterday of him throwing the dig route to DK Metcalf, that is very intriguing because it's really different and it's two players that we've seen play a lot in the NFC, a lot in the past how many years. So intrigued is one, and then odd, very odd. When we walked in, I was like, could you take yourself back to 2010? Whenever the Steelers played the Packers in the Super Bowl and lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl. And that was Aaron Rodgers, probably fifth or sixth year around there. And you're like, all right, this guy is special. Like, we're going to watch him play for at least 5 to 6 to 7 more years and just dominate at the quarterback position. The way that he was throwing the football, the things he was doing in that game, in that season, was just special. I never thought in a million years I would see that guy in a Steelers uniform
No.
at 41 years old.
No.
That's why it's very odd to me. It was very odd Yeah. initially watching him do his little, drop backs and twisting and turning and getting his hips loose with the number 8 and Steelers apparel on. That was very odd. But after a while, it's like, wow, like, this is real. You know, you had to pinch yourself for a second.
That's why if I were to expand to another word, it was surreal.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people tweet that yesterday, and I thought the exact same thing. It's one thing, we'll go in the time machine, hop in the DeLorean, and go back to day one of the NFL legal tampering period. And the report came out about 7:12 a.m. because we were just going to do a DK Metcalf show.
Right.
We're going to do 4 hours of DK Metcalf reaction. We still probably haven't talked enough about DK Metcalf because of Aaron Rodgers. So it's 7:12 a.m. The tweet comes out from Adam Schefter, the Steelers poking around on Aaron Rodgers. And when you read that, you think, no, it's not going to happen. You leave open the possibility because you just had Russell Wilson, you just had Justin Fields, and most people, you weren't included in this, but most people didn't think that would happen. So you turn over the quarterback room 1 year. It's day one of the legal tampering period. And I'm thinking, okay, it could, but I just don't see it. They're going to do the boring thing. Russell Wilson feels like a fait accompli.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're kicking around on Rodgers, that means Justin Fields is probably not coming back. But okay, geez, it'll be Russ again. Then it becomes clearer and clearer in the coming weeks. Yeah, they're not interested in Russell Wilson.
Right.
And then you start looking around at what the options are. And when Mason Rudolph comes back, you're thinking, okay, it could be Mason. And it probably is going to be Mason if it's not Aaron Rodgers. And then he goes on McAfee. And I was looking back through my tweets. And when he went on with McAfee, finally, to speak publicly about what was going on in his head, I tweeted out, the way I'm hearing this, I think Rodgers is going to retire. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs out onto the field in a Steelers uniform. In this thing that we've built up now for 3 months, and not just we, but nationally and the fan base and any place we go, you know it. We get asked about Aaron Rodgers all the time. Is Rodgers really coming? Well, now he's here. And on one hand, I can't believe it that we finally crossed the finish line. And on the other hand, it seems like it was always going to happen. But when he's out there with his signature quick release, it is surreal. Talked about it in the pre-show. Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer. Ben Roethlisberger, a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, a Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great. Four-time MVP winner, Super Bowl champion, and now he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think it's going to work out to the tune of them winning double-digit games and making the playoffs. I don't think this transforms them into a Super Bowl contender, but damn, dude, I am excited that it's happening. And if they didn't make this move, I think it would be a slog.
Yeah.
From now until the end of the season would be a slog.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for us when this is our job to talk about the Steelers every day, but I think for your average Joe Schmo Steelers fan, like, imagine getting geared up, geeked up to grab a Permane sandwich in an Iron City on a Sunday whenever you're 2-6,
right,
and Mason Rudolph's going to lead you out
onto
the field.
That's tough. It just, the intrigue factor of seeing him on the field and in Steelers uniform, you know, it can just expand, I think, which makes it even more invigorating. Because of what the knowledge he can bring. You know, he has a DK Metcalf.
Yep.
You know, can this work out? Like, it is that, like, blind faith if you're a Steelers fan that, like, all right, like, we're going to roll with Aaron Rodgers. And he's 41 years old. But he clearly still has something left in the tank. And he's playing football seemingly for all the right reasons. And he made it make sense. Like, I try to think of how Aaron Rodgers was thinking about this situation. Like, if he just wanted to play football, he could probably sign somewhere and ask for $20 million. Like, I mean, I don't know how many teams really wanted him, but I'm sure that if he really wanted to play and his agent and himself reached out to teams, I'm pretty sure somebody would have taken him on. But
if he wanted to be a Giant, I think he could have been a Giant.
Right.
Just to name an example.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a Saint.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it had to make sense to him at this point in his career. And what is the best option for what he is setting out for? And it clearly was the Pittsburgh Steelers in this situation. He obviously, he's a historian. He knows the town. He knows the people. He knows kind of how we operate. And he feels like he can play here. Or if he didn't, like, he's a guy that's like, yeah, then I'm not going to.
You made a good point in the parking lot before we got in here today that he ingratiated himself to the fan base while also sort of given it to the media that he wasn't going to take their guff.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that from him. I mean, it's not his job to be friendly with the media. And it's not that he was coarse or he was rude or he was curt or anything like that. But there were a couple of questions that he viewed as gotcha questions.
Right.
And I thought both were fair questions, but he handled them in kind of the way that I thought he was going to handle them. What is one word that you would use to describe for your reaction when you saw Rodgers for the first time in a Steelers uniform? 412-928-9370. We want your calls on this. That's the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I heard Pony make this argument on Monday. I heard Starkey make this argument yesterday. There are Steelers fans that believe that this will work to an extent with Aaron Rodgers, but these Steelers fans generally are out on Mike Tomlin. And both guys say that doesn't make much sense. I totally disagree with them on that, because I think what we've seen is that Mike Tomlin Steelers, and this isn't good enough, I'm not defending Mike Tomlin, they're going to win 9 games, or they're going to win 10 games. They're going to be in the thick of it, regardless of who the quarterback is. I happen to think Aaron Rodgers, even this version, is the best quarterback they've had since Ben was pre-elbow surgery.
Yeah.
The way he played down the stretch last year, and the analytics would back it up, if he can bring that forward into this season, further removed from the Achilles, I think you're going to get the best possible 41-year-old version of Aaron Rodgers, which to me means you're probably a top 15-ish quarterback in the NFL, and his head's top five, if not better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't believe in Tomlin to win playoff games. I don't believe that Mike Tomlin will ever take the Steelers to the promised land again. But the one area where I do believe in Mike Tomlin is that he's going to have this team kicking and screaming in the playoff hunt at the end of the season. So I actually do think you can believe that Rodgers and Mike Tomlin can do what Mike Tomlin has done now, well, forever.
I think that with Aaron Rodgers on this team, it kind of it excludes Mike Tomlin from getting Mike Tomlin's way. If this is going to work, you know, Mike Tomlin's not going to have the say-so in a situation like this to trump a quarterback that he has in the past 5 years and say, like, no, we need to protect the football, or no, we want to run the football, we want to play defense. Like, Mike Tomlin's going to be excluded from a lot of the things that probably were faults in the last 5 years, that I think that it could work, because Aaron Rodgers is just not going to stand for that. And he does not care. Like, he cares, obviously, a lot.
Yeah, but he wants to win, but
you're not going to tell him what to do.
No.
And Mike Tomlin is not going to, and Mike Tomlin has respect for him even enough, I think, to not tell him what to do in that situation. Not like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is like, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't think Mike Tomlin's even going to cross that line, which is probably a good thing. Mike Tomlin can go do the things that Mike Tomlin is actually good at and not meld into things that he probably shouldn't be melding into that actually got him playoff wins and a Super Bowl.
I think, just to boil it down really simplistically, Aaron's going to throw the ball over the middle of the field. No matter how much Mike Tomlin has been loath to do that the last 5 years, you ain't telling Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
It's not going to be slants and deep shots. Now, there was a lot of that last year with the Jets, but if you look at some of the passing charts, I mean, he threw the ball all over the place. He has the best touchdown to interception ratio in the history of the NFL. He has always protected the football. There are certain quarterbacks you throw on their highlights and you go, wow, that guy's great. And then you throw on the lowlights and you go, holy hell. Ben had some lowlights. Favre had more lowlights than anyone. Peyton Manning had some bad lowlights. Aaron Rodgers' lowlights are nowhere near as bad as pretty much any quarterback in the history of the sport. When he's at his apex, the plays he makes, no one else could make, and he just so rarely turned the ball over. So I think you're right. I think Tomlin's actually going to let him be him.
Yep.
Which they did with Russ for a little bit, and then when it got late in the season, it got tight. I don't think Rodgers, to your point, would even let that happen. All right, so what is the word that you would use to describe your reaction when you saw Rodgers in a Steelers uniform? 412-928-9370. Mine was reinvigorated. Doran's was intrigued. Also awed. My other one would be surreal. We've cheated. We've now given you four words. You can text yours in. You can give us a ring at 412-928-9370. On Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think it starts with Mike Tomlin. I mean, I've been a fan of his for a long time. There's a few iconic franchises in the NFL. I played for one of them for 18 years. This is another one of those. There's something special about, obviously, this area. So many great quarterbacks are from Pittsburgh. I feel like Pittsburgh has been a part of my career from the beginning, playing for Mike McCarthy for 13 years, having Tom Clements, or Tommy Clements, depending on how old you are, as my quarterback coach forever, Don Capers, Kevin Green, Darren Perry, Ben McAdoo, Frank Cignetti, Luke Getsy. I don't want to forget anybody, but a lot of Yinzers in my life.
I just call it like I see it. He hit that press conference out of the park yesterday.
Yes, he sure did.
I also find him refreshing in comparison to Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, I'm not saying was a bad guy. You don't hear that Russell Wilson was a bad guy or anything like that. The polish, though, was off-putting to me.
Yeah, it was fake.
It was totally fake. He was always putting on, and he had his PR team involved in everything. The version of Russell Wilson that you saw outwardly was the version that he wanted to be seen outwardly. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, I think, for better or worse, speaks from the heart. And he sounds, and this might be a weird way of describing it, kind of like a guy's guy.
Yeah.
Russ didn't give me those vibes. And I didn't know really what Mark Schlereth was talking about with toxic positivity. I thought, how can you be overly positive? That doesn't make sense. That seems like a guy you'd want to be around. And then they're in the midst of the 5-game losing streak, and they lose to the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's coming off the field with Cam Hayward, and he's talking to Cam like about how things are going to be better, things are going to be different. And he couldn't possibly have believed that the way that they had played.
Right.
And I think Rodgers, at least if you do the juxtaposition with him alongside Russell Wilson, I think it's a night and day personality difference. And I don't think that personality from Russ ultimately jived with the team last year. I think Rodgers has a much better chance of relating to the guys.
Yeah, there's different motives for both guys. I think Russ was like, all right, this is my like makeover. And, you know, a situation where like I still have a lot left in the tank, a lot left to prove. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is approaching this situation like he has something to prove. He wants to play football and finish his career the way that he wants to. And he's going to be 100% himself, because that's probably the best version of football player and quarterback that you can get in his mind, is the best version of himself. So it's like that nothing to lose mentality. Like, look, okay, like I got here and, you know, we make the playoffs, so be it. But like, obviously I want to win and try to win a Super Bowl, but my name is etched in stone already. Like Russell Wilson's wasn't. And I think that whenever you get to the latter part of your career and you are pretty close to something like that, those milestones or, you know, those accomplishments, you know, Russell Wilson had a different motive than I think Aaron Rodgers has right now. He knows he's an all-time great.
Yes.
He knows that.
It's already cemented.
Yeah, it's good.
Now he kind of wants to go out on his own terms.
Exactly.
Because last year wasn't the way that he wanted it to go. Of course not. And one of the reasons why I actually think this can work, and I guess we should define work, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll look like they have really for the last handful of years. And while that's not good enough, if I compartmentalize and I think about this as a standalone season, a bridge to your eventual franchise quarterback, I guess for one more year I can live with it. I think it can work because, yeah, we can crush Tomlin for not winning playoff games and for underachieving at times and for putting together some flawed rosters and for the defense wilting late in seasons. But the Steelers do have continuity. They do have an organizational hierarchy. Mike Tomlin ain't get fired week six. The Jets were not ruined by Aaron Rodgers. They're the Jets. You walk into a ruined and broken situation, and they turned over everything to Aaron. If Aaron were the pseudo GM here, I think it would look a lot like it did the last couple of years in New York. That ain't happening. You're just going to go play quarterback with Arthur Smith in an offense that you are, and he said he's comfortable with DK Metcalf and I think presumably another number two wide receiver. And he's just got to go out there and play football. And they're going to run the ball a lot more than the Jets did. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. They're now built with a running back that actually fits the scheme. And I think Jaylen Warren fits the scheme. It's all about playing football. The reason it failed in New York is because it transcended football. And they let Rodgers' ego probably do it. Now you got Sol Rodgers.
Yep.
And I think Sol Rodgers, between the white lines, with his brain and still his accuracy and his arm strength and the quick release, I think it's going to be fine to get to 10, 11 wins. I do. Like, just go play quarterback. That's all we're asking. Whereas the Jets said, oh, we got to, in order to get him here, my God, we got to promise the sun, moon, and the stars. The Steelers said, here's $13 million. Take it or leave it. And he took it.
Yeah, I think it's refreshing to him probably. You know, you see every angle of your career and you know what it looks like whenever you do get the keys and you are running things and you have all the say-so. I think that it's refreshing. Like, I've talked to a lot of offensive coordinators that became head coaches that started out as position coaches. And a lot of them have told me, and then after they were head coaches, going back to being an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, position coach, they're like, this is where I want to be. Like, I don't want to be a head coach. I see how that was. Like, I just want to coach football. You know, I don't want to have to deal with all the CEO stuff of being a head coach. I just want to coach football. I think Aaron Rodgers right now just wants to play quarterback and to play football. Like, honestly. And you see how it was in you know, different situations, and you know what works, what doesn't work. And he knows that in this situation that there are people above him, and he has to fall in line.
And he actually respects Mike Tomlin, yeah, I believe that.
He respects that, and he respects the organization, too,
yeah,
as being a historian, as I said before, and obviously, giving back to the game and knowing what the game has given to him. The Pittsburgh Steelers, as he said in the audio we played earlier, Pittsburgh Steelers, he felt like has been a part of his whole entire career. And they're one of the best franchises in all sports. So he has a lot of respect for football and a lot of respect for history. I think that he will fall in line and just play quarterback at the end of the day.
That's really well said, even down to the analogy, Doran. I mean, guys come to mind immediately. Dick LeBeau, Vic Fangio, Steve Spagnuolo all got chances to be head coaches. Didn't work out. And three of the all-time great defensive coordinators. And that list goes on and on and on. Todd Haley, not a great head coach, but I thought a really good offensive coordinator. And so you've got Aaron Rodgers now staying in his lane.
Yep.
Go out there and throw the football. As for Tomlin, yeah, we knew that would be the Mutual Admiration Society. We've been calling that for months. He loves Tomlin. Tomlin loves him. And I think the football resume for Tomlin and the franchise he respects, I think he also respects that Mike Tomlin, while really being married to his job, is also a deep guy outside of football.
Yeah.
And while I think that their egos could clash at times this year, and that's going to be part of the fun is seeing if and when that happens, I think that Aaron, the way he thinks of himself and his intellect, I think he respects the hell out of people who he thinks are deeper than just football.
Yes.
And so I think it might be a perfect marriage from that standpoint. Or again, they'll clash and we'll find that out along the way. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Give us one word to describe your reaction when you saw Rodgers for the first time in a Steelers uniform. 412-928-9370. Rodgers was asked about the offense and how quickly he'll be able to get up to speed. We'll give you that answer. We'll react to that coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks.
I mean, read his resume. We're excited about him being here. He's excited about being here. But we'll make no bold predictions. We're just going to roll our sleeves up and go to work and let our efforts do the talking.
But no, I'm just going through the script. Like, Tom's giving me a script so I can follow along. Trying to, like, listen to the plays in my helmet, then say them back, and then read it. So, you know, for me, the more times that I write it or read it or hear it, the more it kind of sticks in. Again, a lot of stuff is stuff I've done before, but there's some new terms and new types of motion words and different stuff. So I'm learning. I'm going to go through the individual stuff. I think that's what Mike wants me to do. And I told Mike, he wants me to practice, I'll practice, but I think he said he just wants me to stick to the individual until I got the offense down.
I saw somebody tweet yesterday, Doran, that Aaron Rodgers has the most iconic throwing motion in NFL history. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I've seen a Twitter account, I forget who runs it, where they'll black out all the players,
mm-hmm.
and then you guess which
yep.
quarterback it is.
Yep.
He's the easiest one. I think if you're a huge football fan like we are and you played in the league for 6 years, over half a decade, and you can pick out everybody, but I do agree that he has the most iconic throwing motion in the history of the game. And Mike Tomlin, if we had a bingo card, man, going into yesterday's press conference,
we should have did that.
We'd have nailed it. 100% nailed it.
Yep.
You told me, and you told the world here on 93.7 The Fan and on your Odyssey app, Audacy, Odyssey app, that Mike Tomlin was going to reference Aaron Rodgers' resume, and he did. And so the biggest question, I think, really, in all of this, after we now know why he's here, is how much of a say is he going to have in the offense? Let me be real clear on this. You give him a bunch of say. He's 41. He can't move the way he used to be able to move. The arm is as good as ever, really. The release looks great last year. Just watch the tape. I mean, he can still throw. But his biggest strength is what's between the ears. He's one of the most cerebral quarterbacks in the history of the game. He has started 250 games. If you don't give him a say, it is malpractice.
Yeah.
So let him do some of the stuff he likes. And he said he's comfortable with Arthur Smith's stuff. He's from the Shanahan tree, just like LaFleur. So it's not like learning a new language. He's going to have to, as he said, pick up a couple of words.
It's just verbiage. It's the same thing. But, I mean, in his mind and as a player's mind, whenever you switch offenses and it's the same structure, you just think of it as the way that you learned it. I mean, you're going to have to say it's different quarterback because you have to say the verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing. Like, you know what's going on. Like, you know the concept.
Yeah, this used to be banana. Now it's going to be apple.
Right.
And you'll make that switch eventually where it'll be run.
And I bet you he messes up a couple times and calls it the play that he had before
yeah.
Green Bay or, you know, wherever he was. And, you know, and then he'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's banana. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. But let's go score because I know what we're doing.
Yeah. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Right. And we'll all be on the same page. I think that's what Rodgers can offer you at this age. And I think Russ could, too, from a field general standpoint and from a surveying the scene standpoint. And, hey, they're going to be in cover two. Let's do our cover two beater. I call that at the line of scrimmage. I just think Russ was, his brain at times was cashing checks that his feet and his arm couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you did say it right.
Thank you. Rodgers will put it on your hip. Rodgers will throw the back shoulder because of the leverage of the cornerback is playing. Like, those are still the things that Rodgers can do, and it's all through his mind. So if you're just saying, come in here and run the Arthur Smith offense, that's a dereliction of duty. And I know that late in the season with Russ, they kind of pulled the reins back on him. They allowed Rodgers all the time he wanted to come. You heard the way that Tomlin talked about Rodgers. You heard the way that Rodgers talked about Tomlin and Arthur Smith. There will be friction. I'm not saying it's going to be a utopia up in there. But I actually think they're going to let Rodgers do some of the stuff that he wants to do while keeping it largely within the framework of Arthur Smith. I think you can have it both ways, and I think that they will.
And I think the smartest way to go about it, and it's more about everybody else getting them up to speed than Aaron Rodgers and maybe even DK Metcalf and maybe even Jalen Warren, guys that have been around and played the game. But for some of the younger guys, and I think you could keep it simple with the offensive line, but I think that every play should have an option of another play. If you're Arthur Smith, like if I were to build this offense right now, I have my foundation of my offense, but every play that I call that's in the structure of my offense will have an option to it. And can everybody know, like, all right, we're going to can and go to the next play whenever Aaron Rodgers is up there. Will everybody know to flip to that other play? Like, that's where you have to get up to speed. But I think that every single play that Arthur Smith calls, Aaron Rodgers could have the option of sticking with the play if he sees like a defense or a shade or a front or a different things of that nature, talking some X's and O's right now.
Yeah, baby.
Or to can it, and then it's like, all right, DK, you know, back shoulder quick. Like, hey, can, you already know what it is. Boom, you're just doing a DK. Like, I think that every play should have something like that in it.
I think he gets a bad rap, actually, because I do think he's demanding. I think he expects excellence out of his wide receivers. I'd like to see them get a wide receiver, too, that is more of a route runner guy. It's why Amari Cooper keeps being the name that jumps into my head and why I think he'd be a better fit than, like, Gabe Davis. I mean, Terry McLaurin's the pie-in-the-sky option, but I just don't think that's realistic. I think it's going to take some time here. And ideally, it would have been nice if he were here for OTAs. But I still think, and you could tell me, you'd know better than I do, I still think there's time between now and the start of the season because the guys are going to go out to Malibu with him, which you love to hear. It's not just going to be play call. It's going to be Aaron's going to be precise. And if you're, I can't get into the X's and O's like you, but there are going to be certain coverages he's going to want you to break it 5 yards instead right. of 7 yards.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, that time from what, you know, this weekend until the end of July, like he'll have the guys out and he'll probably put some things in with DK that it's like, all right, like whenever we get this coverage, if we're playing, if we're playing the Jets, like they like to do this and they like to do that and send it to Arthur Smith. I mean, it's 2025. You're going to record everything. Send to Arthur Smith. Do you like this? How do you feel about this?
And maybe bring his ass out there.
Probably
too.
Arthur Smith will probably step out. For real. Yeah. And that's what I think that whenever that question was asked yesterday of like him implementing certain things in the offense, it'll be like more of him and DK than anything else. Or maybe him and maybe Pat Freiermuth are like, hey, I like this whenever they're in this coverage.
Yeah.
And he's not going to continue his route. He's just going to break it off. I know it says in the playbook or on the iPad to continue. No, let's just break it off because then I can just dump it down real quick or find that zone hole that he can actually get some yards after the catch, stuff like that.
You told me the story about whenever you went out there and you were filling in for, was it Gronk or were you filling in for Hernandez?
Hernandez, yeah.
And there was a way that the play was designed, and then there was a way that Tom Brady wanted to run the play.
Yes.
It's the same play, but Tom's asking you to do something incrementally different, and if you don't, the whole timing's off.
Yep.
I think guys are going to have to adjust to Rodgers more than Rodgers is going to have to adjust to everybody else.
For sure.
He's the quarterback. He's got the resume. He walks in there, and they're all idolizing him based on everything I read yesterday in some of the quotes that came out.
But whenever you can, and if you are a player outside of like a big time quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and like you just said, you hit the nail on the head right there, like the players are gonna have to adjust to him. But whenever you do adjust to him, football makes even more sense than what you've learned in the past year, 2 years, 3 years, whenever you're playing with a guy like that, because it's deeper. Like he sees things differently. Mm-hmm. And if you can at least get on the same page, football almost becomes easier. Because he sees things in, boom, like quick time that he knows is going to be open. He knows is going to work. And if you can just get in the same mindset of him, football sometimes becomes easier whenever you play with a quarterback like that and you can get on that same page. Because that's the reason why they've dominated for so many years. If you can figure out a way to do that, like DK, like his, I think his career is going to shoot through the roof, and it already has. He's a great receiver, but I think now that he has somebody like Aaron Rodgers, like he's going to do some things that he's never done before that make probably so much sense once he does them that it makes football so much easier.
And Rodgers is a smart guy, and we all saw through this way back when, but whenever he was throwing with DK Metcalf, that had a purpose. And now they start at a different level than he's at with guys even like Pat Freiermuth. And it seems like they have a nice budding young relationship. They're going to be going to the U.S. Open together, for goodness sakes. We'll be talking Rodgers all morning long. We've got Ray Fittipaldo at 8 o'clock. Doug Whaley. Can't wait to speak to these guys. He's on from 9 o'clock until 10. Coming up next, speaking of the U.S. Open, Justin Thomas sent out a tweet yesterday about your average everyday golfers, maybe a little bit better than that, playing at Oakmont and how they'd fare. We'll talk about that when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. U.S. Open tomorrow, tees off, 6:45. Our guy, Dr. Vogt, looking forward to that. Got a golf hypothetical for the people in a second here, but some sad news to pass along, Doran. The meteorologist who devised the wind chill factor has died. He was 86. But he felt like he was 75. Went a long way for that joke.
Yep.
Not embarrassed by it.
Yep.
So Justin Thomas, professional golfer, yins have heard of him. He was asked about, and all these guys have been asked about, like how your average everyday golfer would fare at Oakmont. And so he tweeted this out. So much talk about what would X handicap shoot at Oakmont. Why don't we find a way to make it happen? Have a 5, 10, 18, whatever handicap play Monday after the Open. Back tees full rules of golf and see what happens. May have to let a few groups through and allow for 6-7 hours, but I think we're all here for it. No. Now, you are an 18 handicap, you were just saying.
I was at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And you played.
I played Oakmont.
And what tees were you hitting off?
I was members tees, not the tips.
Okay.
Not the pro tees.
And how'd that go?
Around 120.
120?
Yeah. Around 120.
I feel like that's pretty good.
That was pretty decent. Now, I mean, let's say, okay, I'm gimme putts. Like, I'm doing gimme putts and things of that nature. So, like, if I were to putt everything out, and, you know, it was pretty close. It wasn't like.
Yeah.
But I should have putted everything out because it is Oakmont.
Right.
So, I don't care if it's a foot away. I don't care if it's right by the cup. I should have putted everything out to get a true sense because I probably would have missed a few. So, let's say I probably 125, 130. And so, they're right. They're close. And, like, it is that hard.
There was a video that a bunch of the guys were in, a bunch of the pros were in, giving their prediction for an 18 handicap. And who was it? Jason Day?
Yep.
Said 150.
Yep.
Now, you did 120, 125, 130, depending on how you would have putted that day if you weren't doing the gimme putts.
But if I would have did it from the tips, it would have been around 160, 150.
If I this is no joke. And so Callis, intern Dom and I, we want to go golfing together because we all like to golf, but I am atrocious. I think intern Dom's okay from what I've heard. Callis, I don't know how you view your golf game. How many times have you golfed in your life?
Once.
Once. Okay, so you're going to be bad. Not to say you can't get good because you are an athlete and we saw how you hit the 92-mile-an-hour fastball, but we all figured we would golf together because we're not going to judge each other. There's going to be no embarrassment. If I went out and played the tips at Oakmont, I'm shooting 300.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even a joke.
Yep.
Like, that's 100% what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you consider, like, are you walking the course?
Yes.
You're walking the course. Yep. I'm shooting a 350.
Yeah. Yep.
I would be there for 10 hours.
I don't think all three of you guys, if you did a scramble, could break 100.
No way.
You might not even break 150.
No way.
Right.
No way.
At the tips, if all three of you, you intern Dom and Callis, there's no way you break 120.
I am not a good golfer. I can't hit a driver for anything to save my life. Have never figured it out consistently. You know, few and far between, but that's the magic of golf. Other than that, I think I can pass for somebody that you're not terribly embarrassed being with out there. But the driver alone would leave me at like 300.
Right. I mean, and it's not even the distance. It's where the ball is at.
Exactly.
It's like, I mean, if you land in the rough, you're not getting out of the rough.
No, and that was another thing that a couple of the guys in the video said. We can't get out of the rough. There's no way 18 handicap can get out of the rough.
No way.
I can't wait to see what the winner score is at the end of this thing.
It's going to be hard.
What did Jeff say? +2
Yeah, +2 I bet you it's +2, +3
Yeah. They said the greens are still moving out there. And we got rain for 40 days and 40 nights leading up to this thing. And the greens still be cooking out there.
It's just because, I mean, the greens are just, there's levels to them.
Like, right.
Your ball will never stay on the green because it's like, I guess, tiered, if you want to say. Like, it's just so hard to even, like, even if you get on the green, it's hard to putt up a hill. It goes flat, and then on the backside, it goes down.
Right.
Like, to keep it there and then have to putt it again and not roll it off. Like,
if you and I played Oakmont and I started at the furthest point from the hole on the green, I still think you'd beat me.
Furthest point from the hole.
So,
okay, yeah, you're
whatever
on the green.
The furthest distance away you can find from the hole, but still probably keeping the ball on the green, I think you would beat me.
Probably.
I'd be 10 putting everything,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. But I'd be right with you. It wouldn't be that far behind.
It's like
neck and neck.
Aaron Judge hit a home run 470 feet last night. I mean, it was a gargantuan shot. It'd be like him having to play at the Polo Grounds.
Yeah.
Or like a place with like 500-foot fences. Like what this particular course, and the U.S. Open's famous for this, but what this particular course does to golfers, I love it as a once-a-year thing.
Yeah.
I do. And for Oakmont, you know, it's not once every year, obviously.
For Justin Thomas said, like, I love that idea. You know what, the Monday after the U.S. Open have like an 18 handicap or a couple of them try to play the course. I want to see Justin Thomas, Scottie Scheffler, Jason Day, the top dogs in golf, go play Quicksilver. I want to see what that looks like. Like a normal public course, yes, in Pittsburgh.
Like Frosty Valley?
Or Hickory Heights. I want to see them play Frosty Valley or Hickory Heights and see what that score would be. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, dude.
I would love to watch that.
I hadn't thought
like
about that.
Like a normal person, like we're getting with our buddies, have a couple beers. Hey, we're going to go hit the links today. We go to our public course, Hickory Heights. And, you know, me and my buddy Vinny, he'll probably shoot like an 82. I'll shoot like an 89, 90. Let's see what Justin Thomas would actually shoot from the white tees,
yeah,
not the tips, the actual tees that we play from.
That's a blast.
Probably 30.
That's a great idea. Yeah, man.
I'd love to see that.
Take him to a par three course?
Yeah.
18 holes is too much for me anymore, by the way.
It's a long day. It's a commitment.
It is.
It's a commitment. It's 4 hours, 3.5 hours.
That's why I never golf.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It'll leave my wife with the kids for 4 hours. You play nine, you got a shot.
Right.
I'm never going to get good at golf. Not until I'm like Starkey age.
Yeah.
Or both girls are in, if we're college, still doing the morning show, both girls are at school.
Yep.
Get done with the show at 10, get out there. But then what, you're done at 4? No.
If we got out there, we'd be done at 2:30.
Yeah.
But we have a couple beers after, have something to eat, and we get home at 4 or 5.
You think guys like Scottie Scheffler, you think that they at any point go out and have beers when they're golfing?
Yes.
You do?
Oh, no doubt.
Okay, good.
I think Scottie Scheffler was just talking maybe like a month ago about he was golfing with his friend who was like a 4 or 5 handicap, which is really good for regular people,
yeah,
and came close to beating him, and like they were just like messing around. And he, like, took it personally. He's like, I can't let that happen again. Like, something like that. It was along those lines. But you could just tell that every once in a while, when he probably isn't preparing for a tournament, yeah, he goes out there and just fun with his buddies.
That's
for sure.
You have to, because... Right.
But you know, all of his buddies are probably really good.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
There's no us in his group.
No. And thank you for including me with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just hope that this thing that is synonymous with hanging out with the boys and having a couple of pops,
for
because
sure,
they're professionals at it, ruin that element of it for them, of relaxation and getting away and being with nature. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton?
the real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.